I mentioned I went to the NBL last night, and it was great to be there courtside and see Melbourne United and the Perth Wildcats 1-2 on the NBL ladder live. First time I've been to an NBL game live for quite a few weeks. Perth Wildcats with Bryce Cotton again lighting it up when he needed to. But, gee, John Mooney, 30 points and 14 rebounds. Melbourne United about 18 turnovers. And in the end, their 11-game win streak came to an end. The Wildcats too good. But there's a bit more Wildcat news. They're going to get better. Andrew Gaze has been good enough to join us, the greatest of all time. He's on the line. Welcome to you, Gaze. Great to have you on.
Good afternoon. It's a delight. And I was calling that game last night, and although you could look at it and there was a lot of errors by Melbourne United, the Perth Wildcats were fantastic and to snap the 11-game win streak. And I wasn't fully aware of this, probably should have been when I was calling it, but a lot of those that 11-game winning streak was coming from performances at John Cain Arena. So that perhaps it was not fool's gold, but perhaps it wasn't as spectacular as what you would normally equate to an 11-game winning streak.
And obviously, you guys on the coverage last night spoke to Trevor Gleeson after the game. He didn't give you an indicator after the game that they might be about to be added to?
No, he didn't. But the last few days, there's been strong speculation that Will Magnay would end up with the Perth Wildcats. My understanding, there was just a little bit of accounting that needed to be sorted out between that goes back to Will Magnay's time at the Brisbane Bullets, strangely enough, because, of course, he was with the Bullets and then left to pursue an NBA opportunity with the Pelicans. And things didn't work out as well as what he would like. I think that the NBA is still an option for him. But in this window of coming home and perhaps trying to figure out where his next move may be, he's landed in a situation that, well, at the very least, statistically, gives him a very, very strong chance to win a title joining the Perth Wildcats.
Yeah, it's going to make them really tough. They looked good last night. They seem to know what it takes come the pointy end of the season as well, Gazy. Where do you see, I mean, is it daylight third at the moment? Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, it is. You look at the ladder and it's you look at the Sydney Kings who Melbourne United beat by 20-plus over the weekend. The South East Melbourne Phoenix, their last six or seven games have been really, really poor. And the chasing pack, Illawarra, Brisbane and Adelaide, strangely enough, at 12 and 16, are probably best suited to make a charge because they've got all their players back. Illawarra with Brian Gorgian at the helm, you never know what's possible there. But there is a, I think, considerable space between Melbourne and Perth. And anything can happen in a playoff series, of course. But right now, purely on the form that we've seen, up to this stage, there is a significant gap between those two teams.
Yeah, throw down this weekend, by the way, for those people who want to get along to an NBL game. It's a Phoenix home game as well. There are some tickets available. Josh Giddey, he's going to go in the top, what, 10 or 7? Or where do you see him going? And do you see him hanging up the sand shoes at some stage very soon?
Well, the Bleacher Report, which is one of the more high-profile predictors, they had him most recently at pick number 9. And I think it's a little early to know exactly how high he can go until they've done the lottery and you know which teams are picking. It's very difficult because it's a needs-based thing. There's no way Josh Giddey, right at this point in time, is slipping out of the teams. So regardless of whether you're, say, 6 or 7 or 13 or 14, It makes a bit of a difference to your bank account, but as far as opportunity and long term, it's really not going to make that much of a difference. He's going to be with an NBA team with an unbelievable 4-year contract, and it's up to him then to prove himself. And all the evidence so far is suggests that he's going to be a really good player at the next level. If the comparison you can make is with LaMelo Ball, if you look at Josh Giddey's numbers, and he reeled off a couple of triple doubles, and the way in which he can fill the stat sheet, similar to what LaMelo Ball did, although LaMelo only did it for 11 or 12 games, and Josh has got a bit more body of work. And I hear you alluding to the fact that maybe they might shelve him. And when you think that there's probably something in the order of 15 to 20 million US dollars when that's on the line, you can understand and appreciate why they might shelve him. But such is the determination and the character of Josh Giddey that everything that's coming out of his mouth is he's in for the long haul. He's an Adelaide 36er right now, and he's not, he's not going to put himself in cotton wool. He's going to play it out and support his teammates, which I think speaks volumes to his character and is one of the reasons why a lot of the NBA teams are showing some interest in him.
What if they can't make, when they can't make the playoffs, they probably won't get there. So does he hang it up then?
If I was advising him and I'd be talking to the Adelaide 36ers and suggesting that that would be the appropriate thing to do because there is a lot of money at stake. His health is very important. He, as soon as he signs a guaranteed contract, then that money's locked in. It's there regardless of what happens in the future. So I think that sometimes despite the will of the players and their competitive instinct and the want to share with your teammate, you've got to be pragmatic about it. And at what's at stake is too significant when you're not going to be there with your team for the future. And there is a lot of money that's going to be on the table that you're potentially jeopardising. So I think that it's incumbent on the club, and I'm sure his manager is already saying this, but those around him to protect himself from himself.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Olympics, Gazy, I know you'll be doing the commentary. I presume you'll be doing the commentary, but not necessarily going over there for it. Have the rules for selection for teams been nutted out to the point that they won't be changed from here on, or are there still slight tinkerings to come?
Well, I think that this is, how often have we heard this term, unprecedented circumstances. So I think that they're going to be fairly flexible with a lot of the rules, within reason, of course, but to ensure that they have the best possibility to get the best players available to compete. And I don't think there's been anything official done yet, but knowing the way that FIBA works and also above and beyond that, just the spirit of competition and what the Olympics is all about and the way in which it's about sharing experience and all those values that go along with it, I think that they will do whatever they can to make sure that all the teams get the best opportunity to have their players. And we here in Australia would fall very much in that category with a couple of our big guns doing well with the Philadelphia 76ers and Patty Mills and Joe Ingles, the Utah Jazz, right up there and predicted to be playing at the pointy end of the season, then we're hoping that there is that flexibility to enable those guys to join the Boomers.
Who wins the NBA, Gazy? 76ers to let the world know that not to take them lightly?
No, it is, but it is a real tough one because I was on the Lakers and have been on the Lakers a lot, but with LeBron not quite back to playing consistently, he came back for a game and had to spend it, then missed a game. So with him not there and Anthony Davis still working his way back into form, those two, if they are in their absolute very best form like they did last season when they won it, then I think that they are still the team to beat. But they're actually in a battle to avoid that play-in, play-out game. So they've got a bit of a heavy lifting to do. But if they do get it right at the right time, they're going to be tough. But if you, I think that the Brooklyn Nets, they're a lot more advanced in their record, but they sort of still fall into that category as well. If they can get their big three all firing, I like what they've been able to do with James Harden coming in. And I think that they're going to be very hard to beat.
So, in essence, they've got, we've been talking about wild card round like they've got in the NFL in gridiron, and we've been talking about it here with the AFL, whether you have it. So, they've got a system in the NBA this year, Gazy. And so, essentially, it's a one-game eliminator.
What it is, it's you've got that 7, 8, 9, and 10 playing off for two spots.
Yeah.
And the finals format, the way in which it works, I actually don't know if it's a one-game.
Okay, so
It's certainly not one-game for the 7 and 8, but it is for the 9. I think it is right. for the 9 and 10. So there is a bit of work to do. And LeBron James came out and he wanted the person that came up with this system to be fired. So he's not a big fan of it. And it is a little odd when you play 72 games. I think they're going to end up playing regular season the games, and they still say, well, hang on a second, we still need a bit more time to figure out who should be on the playoffs. It does seem a little odd, but something in me, I actually quite like it. I don't know why, but I quite like this playing situation. But I can hear where LeBron's coming from, because it's going to be tough for that team that might finish 7th or 8th and normally you're in, but you've still got a bit of work to do in order to actually get in.
Great to talk to you, great man. I hope your hamstring's recovered and you'll be on bounce again Sunday.
Oh, yes, I wouldn't miss it, Tim. The hamstring's looking good. Hey, this week on the bounce too, Duane, we got a little AFLW versus the bounce team in a 3-on-3 action. So that's worth tuning in for. We're on an early show. It'll be after the game, which I think it'll be about 7:20 on a Sunday. And Duane, it might be time to just go to the negotiating table, because numbers, viewership's just going extraordinarily well. But, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're just happy that people are tuning in.
No, I know you're doing big numbers viewer-wise, and you can check it out, Bounce, on a Sunday night. Gazy, good luck. Australia's greatest dribbler against those other dribblers from the Bounce. I can't wait to see it this coming Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
Good on you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.